Inside Chicago Government.
It can be aimed at you and your home.
ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on September 12th, 2013, titled "Rom Checkmates Chess Teams." Do you play chess?
Not really. I mean, I have played it. I'm so pathetic at it that you can't really say I play it. So
you won't be coaching anytime soon.
No. Well, I mean, if coaching entails just gathering people together and making sure they have the buses to get them to their tournaments, I could coach a chess team. And of course, bringing somebody in to actually teach the kids how to play the game.
In this article, you describe the efforts of chess aficionados to implement and pay for chess activities in Chicago Public Schools, or CPS, during both the Daley and Emanuel administrations, and how administration and CPS officials rebuffed their efforts.
Yes, and are continuing to rebuff those efforts, yes.
You talk about the city's seeming inability to pay for school enrichment programs such as chess, art, music, and you again juxtapose it with the city's announced intention to finance development of the Michigan Cermak Arena.
Is that what it's called?
And surrounding area.
Wait, it's called the Michigan Cermak Arena?
The Michigan Cermak
Arena?
The Michigan Cermak area.
Okay.
And the DePaul Arena.
Yes.
The site of the proposed DePaul basketball arena.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me in this and in other articles you've written concerning the arena or the entertainment center that you've been focusing on money that CPS doesn't have, but could or should have, that as opposed to money that it does have, might have in its budget, but might not spend appropriately or waste.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you an example?
Go ahead.
The Chicago Teachers Union analyzed the Chicago Public Schools 2014 budget, and it said it found, among other things, millions of dollars in unneeded and sometimes mysterious expenses. For example, unspecified costs totaling $34 million in a CPS department called the Office of Innovation and Incubation.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite departments, yes.
So I guess my question is, have you considered delving into some of this buried treasure in the CPS budget?
Well, that's a great question. You can look at it two different ways. What limited time I have on this earth, what my mission shall be. I could spend my time burrowing through the Chicago Public School budget, as I've done from time to time in the past, and we've discussed it, to prove the point that the money they claim isn't there is in actuality really there, just being spent on frivolous things like the office of whatever you called it.
Innovation and incubation. I'm imagining little chicks.
They're hatching eggs.
They're hatching something.
Or I could spend what limited time I have on this earth burrowing into the mayor's assertion that we are dead broke and there is no money to spend on things like chess, which would probably cost far less than the $30 million that's in that incubation chick hatching budget.
It might be free.
Yes, it might be free. Although I would argue, if it's for another time, that we should pay for our own chess program. We should not have to depend on the kindness of strangers, particularly since there's $30 million in the aforementioned chick hatching budget, which could easily be applied to the chess program.
It's obviously a shell game.
Right. A cracked shell. Anyway, I've chosen at the moment anyway to examine the mayor's premise that we're a dead broke city that can't afford to adequately fund our schools. And that leads me to examine publicly funded operations or projects such as the South Loop one, which I think is an atrocious and outrageous waste of public dollars at a time when we're supposedly so broke we can't afford a chess program. So I want to use whatever time I have left to make sure that Chicagoans, or at least the people who bother to read me, know that there's really no truth to the mayor's assertion that we're a dead broke city that can't afford something like chess, because if we were a dead broke city, we couldn't afford $55 million for the DePaul Arena and then a few other public subsidized projects that we don't need.
When a friend told me about this article that you were writing again about the McCormick-Cermak area and the DePaul Arena and beating that one into the ground, it seems. And we're conjecturing, like, why is Ben fixated on this particular area? And my guess is that one of the things that you're trying to do is foment public opposition at each of the several junctures at which the city might approve tax increment financing of this project. Am I correct?
You're probably giving me more credit for logic than I actually have. I don't know. It's a great thing to think about. You know, after a while, do I just let it go? You know, well, let's just let the $55 million fly out the window while we continue to pretend that we're dead broke. I mean, the mayor's not letting it go that we're dead broke. The mayor's not stopping cuts in public schools. We're having another round of them right now as we speak with a so-called 10-day formula problem, which we can get into later. So it's sort of like, well, Ben, you already wrote about it. Why are you writing about it again? Well, the mayor already cut the budget. Why is he cutting it again? I mean, obviously, we're not broke. We're plowing ahead. So I think you're probably right. I want to continue the focus on it so people know what their government's up to. They could choose to do nothing about it, as most people do, or they can get really upset and show up at a meeting to demand that the Board of Ed not cut programs while they're allowing public subsidies, money that would otherwise or could otherwise go to the public schools to be used for this project, which is plowing on. I think the $55 million is the least of it. That's the amount of TIF money. I think it's going to end up costing much more. So that's the most visible sign that we have right now of this bad decision-making by our mayor, by our rulers. So that's why I'm putting so much attention on it.
Speaking of showing up in meetings, we talked a couple weeks ago about scanning the legal notices in the Sun-Times. And
oh, yes, I saw that. Here you go. Yes, I saw that very notice. Yes, I did. So it's see, Dave, it's very much alive. You're correct. The Community Development Commission will be hearing it October 8th. Am I correct?
It's what it says here in the very fine print on the Wednesday, September 11th. Chicago Sun-Times legal notices section talks about a meeting of the, as you say, the CDC. Careful readers will note that the CDC will hold a hearing on that date to consider approval of the Fourth Amendment to what's called the Redevelopment Project and Plan of the Michigan Cermak Tax Increment Financing District. And I did a little look into the documentation on this, and it looks like, for those keeping score at home, this TIF district started in 1989.
Yeah.
And since then, the city has approved three amendments to the, quote, project and plan, unquote. I was wondering what they were trying to approve in this Fourth Amendment. So I have here the Fourth Amendment.
What is the Fourth? Literally the Fourth Amendment. Isn't it about search and seizures or something?
Well, that's not inappropriate here.
Yeah.
There is kind of a seizure going on. So there's some interesting things in here I want to go over with you and see if you have any reaction to. First of all, here's a revised list of eligible expenses for this district. And this district, let's just recap here, goes roughly from State Street to the west to Calumet Avenue, which is where all the metro tracks are, to the east, and roughly between 21st Street and bounces back and forth between 23rd Street and Cermak, which in some places is 22nd Street. And this shows the eligible expenses, and it's got categories. It's got analysis and administration, $4 million. Property assembly, including acquisition and demolition, $25 million. Rehab of existing buildings, $20 million. Public works improvements, including streets and utilities, $28 million, for a total of $92 million. For total redevelopment costs. Any reactions to those?
My initial reaction is that they're putting aside the money to buy up land, take dollars out of this TIF account to buy land in the South Loop for the project. They had to increase the budget for that purpose. So this is how they're wasting the money. And this is why your friend is right that it's good to point these things out, because maybe someone would show up and protest at this hearing. Not that it would do any good. Do they have to extend the life of this TIF? There's three TIFs involved that are in the area here. Is this the one that they have to extend its life? Do you know?
89, so.
Yeah, that's 20. They have to extend the life of it.
Oh, right.
This is worth a whole column in of itself. You're going to get this, listeners. You're going to get a column on this. Oh, no, another column about this. You know, again, the whole purpose of a TIF district is to divert money from these taxing bodies for 23 or 24 years so that it could be brilliantly invested in development deals that will bring in more tax dollars. So what they're proposing to do to get money from this TIF district, they have to extend the life of this TIF for another, I think it's, what is it, 15 years?
Well, they did add a 24th year with a third amendment in 2010,
yeah.
It says here.
So now they have to add more years because they need the money.
It says that extension allows it to go till the end of this year.
That's pretty much a pro forma in all TIFs. They're supposed to be for 23 years, but they extend them all for that 24th year to capture the full tax year. They want to continue to divert money from the schools for another, 15 years or so that they can spend it on buying up land.
Speaking of the length of TIF districts, we had a question from Ben, not this
not
Ben,
me.
But another Ben on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And here's his question. It says,
okay.
I've always been curious as to why TIFs are not reevaluated over the 23-year period. If development has skyrocketed in a TIF district, couldn't the freeze level be raised to accommodate the completion of remaining TIF project contracts? Is this an example of a feasible reform?
I think I understand his question. So I'll rephrase it. And Ben, if you're out there listening and I've done a poor job of it, feel free to write in. Essentially, what he's getting at is that when a TIF is created, it basically freezes the amount of money that the taxing bodies can get from the property within that TIF district for 24 years. Okay, so what he is saying is that instead of freezing the level that the schools, let's say, can get for 24 years, we could evaluate the TIF at various junctures and determine that it's doing well enough that we can
raise the cap.
Right, allow the schools to take some of the yield out. So, yes, that's a great suggestion, and that's a reform that has been talked about from time to time. I don't know if anybody's ever proposed any specific legislation, but we've talked about this in the past, that at the very least, what should be done is that TIF districts should be aligned with very specific TIF deals so that we wouldn't just have blanket 24-year TIF districts that just continue to draw money into a bank account, creating a slush fund for the mayor to dip into from time to time when everything pops into his mind, like the basketball arena, which pretty much came out of nowhere.
At the end of the term of the TIF district.
At the end of the term of the TIF district, and should instead be for specific projects. So in this case, if the mayor has decided that what the city needs more than anything else, including a chess program in its public schools, is a DePaul University basketball arena in the South Loop, then they should design a TIF deal that is for that arena and nothing else. And so you figure out how much money you need to raise to complete the arena, and you make a redevelopment deal such that the TIF expires as soon as that money is raised and all the obligations have been met. And as soon as that happens, the TIF disappears and all the proceeds go back to the schools. So that's the most obvious and basic reform that would take away the slush from the TIF program.
That's sort of a front-end reform, whereas the reform that Ben is suggesting is sort of a back-end reform where
yes.
You're going back later and say, oh, you know, we've pretty much realized the development we set out to do here, so let's either get rid of the TIF entirely, or short of that, he's suggesting raising the cap.
Actually, Ben's suggestion was one that was put forth by the mayor's task force on TIF reform. If you remember, Mayor Emanuel appointed sort of blue ribbon committee.
Maybe Ben was on the task
force. Yeah, I don't remember any Ben on there, but he'd be writing under a pseudonym.
Might be, yeah, quote Ben.
Yeah, but anyway, one of their suggestions was to go through the TIF districts, the bank accounts, if you will, and see what obligations we have and how they performed and whether we still need them and make a decision as to whether we should, put the money back to the taxing bodies and close the TIFs. He raises a very good point. But as I've said many times, the purpose of the TIF program in practical ways right now is to create this off-the-books budget that the mayor can dip into. It enables him to slip by the property tax cap. It enables him to perpetuate the pretense that he's not raising taxes. It gives him virtual control over money that's actually being paid in the name of other things. It works very well for him from a political purpose, so why would he want to change it? And that's why, again, I hammer so hard at it. If there will be change, it has to come from the electorate. Now that I'm thinking about it, part of the reason they have that budget, I'd have to take a look at your amendment, but it could be reestablishing a budget for the next 15 years of this TIF's existence, the new 15 years it's got, which would completely contradict what Ben is proposing.
Going in the other direction.
Yeah, we're going in the other direction. We've decided that the public has not decided. Nobody asked the public what they wanted. The city has decided, the mayor has decided that he wants to have even more slush from this area as opposed to letting it go to the schools and the parks.
The public can weigh in on October 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, that's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
Listeners, you too can write in with suggestions and comments for future interviews via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.